10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
This is the Great Gatsby from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to Backwoods Bowhunter with Tim and Mike. You know what I mean?
What's up?
Oh, what's going on? You caught me drinking.
I know, and that's why I said it when you did.
Wow.
I timed it just right.
I'm back.
Have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Sounds rough. Like you had a busy, exhausting weekend.
Yeah, a little rough. For those that listen to the show know that I do, it's professional wrestling. I get paid, but it's independent promotion wrestling.
Mm-hmm. You're not the Undertaker or anything. But
No. No, and don't make the money they make. I take the bumps they take. I just don't make the money they make.
Right.
And been doing it for about 25 years or so.
It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. And the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I've been just kind of picking and choosing like maybe 3 or 4 shows a year. Well, this weekend.
You know, when you hit your Social Security age, you should have slowed down and stopped. Though.
I think Medicare stopped sending me shit. They're like, this guy's a hazard. Don't even send him shit.
That's right.
But I figured, you know, I'll be 50 next year, so this is a great time now for me to really start going with it. So Saturday night I had a show, and then Sunday I came back to the same town, and I recorded TV for them 2 days in a row, or 2 matches in a row, back-to-back, within half hour, 45 minutes. So I wrestled 3 matches in less than 24 hours, and being my age, I'm definitely feeling it today. And saying I won't do that again.
All in front of a live studio audience?
Well, the studio audience...
So how does
audience,
the TV one work if you've got people there and you're back-to-back?
The TV's weird because, I mean, the people know, you know, it's just the way they do it. They record 4 weeks of TV in 1 day. So it's the same crowd in the back. Back in the old days, like, people would shift the crowd around, you know what I mean? Hand out like free shirts. So you've seen like, you know, a couple different shirts in the front row. Signs would be different. But these guys don't care. They're just putting on a show that's going to run on, you know, small, you know, it's not a big crowd. Like the crowd for the night on Saturday was probably about, I don't know, it's probably about 200 to 300 people out in the crowd. It's a pretty big crowd for an independent show. And the TV was about 30 or 40. They only have 2 rows of seats because they got a hard camera on the right. And then the front of the show, they've got 2 cameras stationed on the ring. So this way they can edit between the 3 camera views they have and get the best quality taping they can get. So the crowd there knows. And it's kind of funny because I just started wrestling for these guys last month. And last Saturday night, I spit in someone's face. And the crowd went completely, absolutely batshit crazy, telling me all kinds of names and just letting me know I was a big, giant piece of shit. And so when I first came out the first time, the crowd's like, eh, okay, I kind of remember this guy, you know, and I talked some shit as I came out to the ring and did my thing, cheated, and, you know, they seen what I do. The next time I came out, they instantly started booing, telling me I suck, I'm an asshole, and so they caught on to me pretty quick.
Yeah, and I feel obligated to offer some clarity there. So when you say spit in front of, spit in somebody's face, it was a bottle of water.
It was a bottle of water.
It wasn't just like you hawked a loogie.
No, that would be disgusting.
Spit in somebody's
face.
That
would be disgusting to spit in someone's face like that.
Yeah.
It was a bottle of water that was in his hand that I snatched out.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah, that was my weekend. How was your weekend, Tim?
It was fine. I'm trying to remember what we did, if anything. Well, I was rather busy. So Friday night, I had a 5K race over in Carterville to do. So we did that. And then I played golf on Saturday. I had a golf scramble.
Hmm.
So that was all day Saturday.
Nice.
And yesterday, I didn't do anything but just chill out and watch some football and tool around out here doing whatever I felt like doing.
Yeah. I got home from all that about 3:40. So I got home just in time to watch my Green Bay Packers, your Green Bay Packers, whip the Chicago Bears' ass all over the place.
That happened.
Again.
My golf scramble, we finished dead last.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. We were the toilet bowl.
Well, with all the practicing you do, I would say it's a shock.
Yeah.
You take it about as seriously as I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
My wife hasn't played golf in I don't know how long. I mean.
She golfed with you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so pretty cool.
We had a 3-of-a-4-person team, and we needed somebody, so kind of recruited her.
Yeah.
She, gosh dang, man. The last time I remember her playing was when Johnson City still had the par 3 course.
Oh,
wow. So that's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years or more.
I was going to say, I lived out here 20 years. I don't remember a par 3 golf course. Yeah,
so you know where Jansko's is.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you were working yep. there. I don't know if you are or not. Or not
I don't fetch
there.
Balls anymore.
Not working there, but you were yep. going out there and collecting the golf balls.
Fetching balls.
That's on the south side. So at that, back then on the north side of the main,
okay.
the main road running through there, back there, I can't remember the name of it, but that was a par 3 golf course.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's not there anymore.
So, no. Now they sell like trailers and.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So that used to be a golf course.
I think it's called like Dream Homes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So every hole was a par 3.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. we'd go there and play because you didn't feel like a complete idiot. You know, you could actually
look like a golfer sometimes.
Decent score sometimes. Yeah,
you could hit a good shot and be like, hey, look at that shit on the green and one.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we recruited her and she came out and played for the first time in 20 plus years. it went as you probably would expect it would. And
smooth.
We weren't that good.
Yeah.
Now, last year when we played, this was the Brett Shimwell golf tournament. So Brett was, when I was in the police academy, he was 2 years older than me in high school. But when I was in the police academy, Brett got in a wreck over here on Weaver Road, not far from here, and got thrown through a tree or into a tree, through the windshield into a tree. And,
damn it.
And killed. And it's a golf scramble that they do in his memory. And he played golf in high school and stuff.
Okay.
But anywho. This is only the second year I've played in it.
Yeah.
Last year, we were bad enough, they kicked us off the course. Not that we were doing anything wrong. We weren't, like, you know, tearing anything up or making a scene. We got kicked off the course because we were slow.
Just taking too much time.
So we only played 14 of the 18 holes last year.
Nice.
So this year, we didn't get kicked off the course. But they were already doing awards. They were already doing awards by the time we rolled in. And so they didn't have our score. So they just randomly, they chose to put us down for a 92. I don't know where they came up with that number, but they were like, hey, let's just put them down for a 92.
That probably actually favored you.
So we shot an 80.
Oh, okay.
So I went up there and I said, do you want my scorecard or are we just beyond that? And she's like, no, I'll take it. And I said, and she goes, well, I put you down for a 92. And I said, well, if you want to add them up, I can read them off to you. So I read them off to her and we shot an 80. So, which was still good for dead last.
Okay, that's solid.
It was a 50, I think it was a 53 that won.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah.
80 is not really that close.
No.
And in golf, I mean, that's a big difference.
And let me be transparent here. It was an 80, but it wasn't an honest 80.
No.
Because there were many a time where I said, you know what? It's a golf club length away. We can move that ball from that side of the cart path to this side of the cart path.
Or behind the tree.
That way we have a cleaner shot.
Yeah.
Or when we putted, if it was within a club's length, we took it.
Hey, if you're within 3 feet, winner.
So it might have been a 92 when it was all said and done.
Yeah. Well, as long as you didn't cheat.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that. No.
Now, if you would have like actually scored and rated and you told me that, I'd be highly disappointed. Like if you're like, hey, we won this son of a bitch. And then you're like, hey, by the way, what we did was, then I'd be like, Tim, it's not very honest. But hey.
Now, I
take the 80 and last and call it a day.
I did sink about a 30, 35 yard putt. Feet.
Wow.
30 or 35 foot putt. And that is the thing about golf.
Yep.
That brings you back to do it again. Mm-hmm. Because you're probably guaranteed to make that one shot where you're just.
Yeah.
Like there was a couple times I drove the ball and it would just.
That's straight. Right down. Like you knew what you were doing.
And I'm like, where have that.
Yeah.
Why did I only do that 2 out of 18 times? You know,
yep. But and it gives you false confidence.
It does. But it's just that every so often you do something like that. And yep. like, that's what drives you to come back and do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a humbling game.
We played at that Jasco just a couple weeks ago, me and Jimmy. First one's a par 4. I drove it to the green. Drove it to the green. I was like Happy Gilmore. I was like, holy shit, I'm on the green in 1 on a par 4.
Right.
I'm going to definitely birdie this hole.
How many yards?
I don't know.
Okay.
I never really pay attention to the yardage or the scorecard. I just grab my driver and go.
Okay.
But on the green, took me 5 fucking shots. Yeah. Because it was just on the front of the green. The hole was in the back. So the first putt, I bitched it.
It's embarrassing.
You know, very embarrassing. Because I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm going to freaking get a par or a birdie on a par 4 hole. This is going to be a pretty nice start to the day. First one, I bitched it only about 10 feet. And I was like, got to be shitting me. Next one, overpowered it onto the rough.
Now, you shoot left-handed in golf, too?
No, right-handed. You're right-handed. Okay. Yeah. That's weird.
That is weird.
I'm strange. I swing a baseball bat right-handed. I throw right-handed.
So you only shoot left-handed?
I shoot my gun, my bow, and pull left-handed. You're and right. Hold a guitar left-handed. I write right-handed.
Wow, okay.
I don't know. I've definitely got problems. But, yeah. But I see what you're saying, though. You get out there and you have a good shot. Maybe a couple decent holes where you're like, damn, that was nice. And then that's what brings you back. Even though the rest of the day you're pissed off and frustrated and just, I don't know why. I held the club the same way. I hit the ball the same way. Totally different result for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not an easy game.
No.
Backwoods Bowhunter, episode 134. This is the 60th episode of season 3. So there's good news when we get to the countdown tracker here in a couple minutes.
Okay. I like good news.
There's more than a couple reasons for the countdown tracker.
Ruh-roh.
Backwoods Bowhunter podcast is brought to you by River to River Outdoors. That's us. Push your limits.
Push them.
Check out our community page, Major League Bow Hunting.
Been picking up again.
We're over on the Facebooks, and yeah. We're also on Facebook under Backwoods Bowhunter podcast and on Instagram as well, so you can find us there if you so choose. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else can we talk about? If you are new to the show and you like bow hunting and more in particular backwoods humor, then you've came to the right place. That's us. We do not take ourselves very seriously, so if you're looking for a bow hunting show that takes it very seriously, you might not be at the right channel.
You got the wrong people, Jack.
But, I mean, we take the sport seriously.
Oh, 100%.
And when we talk about it, we mean what we're talking about.
Yep.
But we like to goof off and have fun, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way from the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetails studio.
If you are in the southwestern portion of Oklahoma and you need taxidermy, go check out my buddy Keith Hagen and his taxidermy company, Southern Plains Taxidermy. Yeah, there you go. That's in El Reno, Oklahoma. 405-250-4477 or on Facebook at Southern Plains Taxidermy. You'll find them. Keith can take good care of you. That's in the western, southwestern region of Oklahoma where I went and turkey hunted.
Yes, you did.
Let's see, who else can we talk about? Titan Nutrition, our friends at Titan Nutrition with supplement brands. Looking for some vitamins, superfoods, your greens, your reds, your... how about some proteins, meal replacements?
Hydration.
Hydration. Yep. The list goes on. You can find a lot of those amazing products. I use them. He uses them. Now my son is using them. He's all of a sudden on a protein kick. He wants to do protein shakes every day.
Okay.
TitanNutrition.net and use discount code
Backwoods
at checkout to get 10% off of your order with free shipping. And you can also click on the show notes down below, and that will take you there as well. But as a reminder, if for some reason you don't click on the show notes down below, it's TitanNutrition.net with discount code
Backwoods.
You won't be disappointed. Countdown tracker in Illinois, 2 weeks till opening day. Or it will be by the time the show
airs. 19 days. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! From today.
And also 19 days. 19 from today. Okay.
Yeah.
Well... Two plus-ish weeks until we reach season 4 of the Backwoods Bowhunter podcast.
Season 4.
Be in season 4.
Shoosh.
Our seasons, if you haven't followed along from the beginning, we run our seasons from October 1 through till October 1 again.
Yeah. That's how we roll.
It's in conjunction with the bow season.
Mm-hmm. And that way it's all fresh content in the beginning. That's where we have to drabble a bunch of shit in the middle.
Yeah. Towards the end, specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the middle rough. And the end. When we get to the summer, you're like,
it's a little rough. It's like, need some crickets in the background. We're good.
little blue line badassery going on here.
Okay.
All right. So this is out of Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. This just happened a couple days ago.
Okay.
Norristown, Pennsylvania police officer Edward Butterworth. Now, that is a hell of a last name.
Hell yeah, it is.
Butterworth. Rock on.
Hell yeah.
I guarantee you that dude eats pancakes.
Not a doubt.
Guaranteed.
Not a doubt.
Springs into action after a truck ran off into a river. Father and daughter in the vehicle. Pickup truck accelerated into the river, landing about 60 feet from the boat ramp. Father and 12-year-old daughter. Officer Butterworth stripped off whatever necessary gear he needed to strip off, and without a moment's hesitation was in the water and heading to him, and was able to get both of them out of the water, out of the vehicle and out of the water. As he described, swimming backwards, just trying to get them back to the bank. And he said, I have to admit, by the time I reached the bank, I was 100% gassed. I had nothing left.
I know that feeling.
But he did get them out of the water unharmed, rescued. So Officer Butterworth.
Butterworth.
Not only has a badass name.
Hell yeah, he does.
But he is a blue line badass.
That is a badass name and a badass act so, right there.
Kudos. Want to honor a friend or relative who's out there, who has been out there protecting the thin blue line. Submit your blue line badass to us at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com.
Hell yeah.
And we'll reads it.
Yeah, Tim will.
We'll reads it. Yeah, we will. Mm-hmm. All right, Tim will. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ready?
Let's not lie.
You ready?
Yeah, shoot.
Hover in there. Sure?
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Now.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bowhunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
When I pee, it glows.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as we record this, I have a question for you. As we record this, it is September 11th.
Yeah.
Now, when it airs, it will be beyond September 11th. But where were you on September 11th, 2001, when all that bullshit went down?
Oh, Lord. I was living in Antioch.
Because we didn't know each other back then.
No, we did not. Yeah. No. And hell, I was two kids less at that point.
Me too. Yeah.
And one's 21, and the other one's going to be 14. So it's a long time ago.
Yep. 22 years to be exact.
Yeah. We lived in Antioch. We had just got our daughter to school. I came home. I was getting dressed to go to work. And my wife says, man, look at this on the news. Someone drove a plane. Because they thought, you know, when they first started making reports, they thought it was like a little personal jet, you know, hit the building. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm sitting there thinking, me and my wife are talking about it. I'm like, man, you just don't fly a plane that low, you know? And you couldn't really tell the size of the hole by that or how much damage a commuter jet would do compared to a, you know, a little pond hopping jet, you know, pond hopping plane jumper. With them little bitty babies.
Yeah, puddle jumpers. As
we so we were watching it, and I was like, man, that's just weird. And I'm sitting there watching, and I see this other plane out of nowhere come into the screen and hit the other building. And I looked at my wife, and I said, that is absolutely no accident. This is a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So we went and got my daughter out of school. Not that I thought they were going to come attack Antioch, Illinois, but it was just that feeling of our country's under attack. What's next? You know, and then you started hearing about the Pentagon. Then you heard about the one that went down in Pennsylvania that was heading to the White House. You know, it's crazy shit. So we went and got my daughter out of school. I didn't go to work. She didn't go to work. And we just kind of hung out at the house and, you know.
Followed the news all
day. Talked about shit. Yeah, absolutely. at least for the next 3-4 hours until they finally cut away from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy. How about you?
Well, so I was asleep. I had worked midnight. I was working at the sheriff's office at that time, and I had worked midnight shift, and I was a, I'm one of those, when I work a night shift, a midnight shift, when I get home, I'm stripping the uniform off and hitting the bed like that.
Really?
There is no delay. I'm gone. So I didn't know any of it until that early afternoon when I woke up.
Yeah.
I woke up, I went in there and turned on Fox News just to have, basically it was for background noise while I was, you know, kind of bringing myself around and maybe find something to eat or whatever, and saw that news story.
Yeah.
So I didn't know about it till probably 2 o'clock that afternoon.
Really? You
know, yeah, our time, which would have been 3 New York time.
I could almost guarantee 99% of the people can tell you exactly.
Oh yeah.
On that day, where, what they were doing, and even younger kids, because I hear a lot of kids that were in school at that time. You know, they saw it on TV, the second one. You know, because they were watching, you know, something, or they talked about it. You know, they started talking about it immediately at school. You know, what had just happened, and
yeah. See, that's how I remember Space Shuttle Challenger blowing up was because I was in school and watched it happen.
Yep,
it was,
so did I.
Because it was a school teacher on the ship there, so on the shuttle. That's how I remember that from school.
Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, I'm one of the rare ones that didn't catch it as it was happening, or at least within an imminent time frame.
Yeah.
You know, I slept all day long and had absolutely zero clue that any of this was happening until that afternoon.
That's crazy.
And then learned about it.
There was a special last night on, I think it was 60 Minutes about it. We only watched the beginning because, you know, there's only so much of that I like to watch. Not like to, but
if you're like me, care to. Pissed.
Yeah, I don't like it. I get angry, but but it came on. I told Jimmy, I said, come here, watch this for a minute, you know. But it was funny. It's not funny, but weird situation. They were actually doing a documentary on the New York Fire Department that morning. So this guy was actually like checking the gas, you know, for gas leaks underground, and it was part of the documentary, you know, what their daily is when there's not a fire type thing. And you heard the boom, and they're all like, what the hell? You actually heard the plane because it was really low, and they all kind of look up, but the camera doesn't go to it right away. And then the camera goes up, and you see it smash right into the building, like, and boom, you know, and it's like, oh my God, what the hell? You know, so they all start scrambling. They're all heading to the World Trade Center. And the news coverage actually caught the second one because the news camera was sitting there focusing straight up on it. And here comes that other one out of nowhere and smashed into that. And debris just goes everywhere. And it was pretty crazy that they were actually doing a documentary on the fire department the day that happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane.
Yeah, I've been to Washington, D.C. a couple times since then, and the Museum of American History has fragments of the World Trade Center in there. Like, I mean, I say in fragments, these are big sections, you know,
yeah.
I mean, huge sections of it in there that you can see the cameras that caught the footage that you saw, you
really
know, all over the news. Yep. They have those in there and things like that, but it still pisses me off.
Yeah,
either to think about it or to see... Mm-hmm. See those pieces of history from that, you know, in that museum.
I mean, all the people that jumped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either burned to death.
Burn alive or jump.
Or pray for the heart attack on the way down. You know what I mean?
I mean, unreal. Because,
I mean, burning to death's not a freaking option in my life.
No.
You know?
No.
But with as afraid as I am of heights, I don't know. I mean, I ran into the fire. I don't know what I would have done. But I mean, just to see them bodies out of there.
Can you imagine that you're down to that point in life where you only have two choices?
Yeah.
That's burn to death or jump from
a quarter mile up.
I mean, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. That's all you got.
Yeah. There's no, well, maybe I could wait this fire out and get out of here. It ain't happening.
No.
I mean, shit was melting around them and heat was just intense. I'm sure
the heat was.
I mean, that gas from the
skin.
Yeah. The gas from the flight, you know, the airplanes, I mean, they say that shit burns pretty hot. Not that I've ever been around it, but...
The jet fuel, you mean?
Yeah, the jet fuel burns pretty hot, so I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a messed up situation.
Man, it is. God bless them all. Happier notes.
Yeah.
Yesterday evening, I had a herd of white-tailed deer in my food plot. One of my food plots. So that was nice to see. It's nice to see, but it was bad to see because they're going to have it all ate up before we even get to the damn deer season. But The food plots are doing well this year. Last year they were a legit struggle. This year they're rocking it. I've got three in the fields, and then others in the woods, but the more remote ones. But the three in the fields, I just checked them right before you came over, and they are all looking
greeny,
really good. Yeah, nice. They look good. And apparently they're doing good because whitetail were in there.
Yeah.
So I saw there was about 9 or 10 in there, I think, and then I don't know what happened. Something transpired and it chased them all off because I saw them all hightailing it out of there. I don't know. There was nothing going on that I could see, but
yeah,
whatever. And it wasn't 10 minutes later or so, every single one of them were back in there again, going back at it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to read, I thought about waiting until next week on this, but then I decided, no, I'm not going to wait till next week. I'm going to read it now. That way I can bring it up next week as a reminder. You and your son have made predictions, bold predictions, and I took note of them when you made them.
Okay.
You want to go with you or your son first?
Let's go with my son.
Your son says, November the 8th at 7:46 a.m.
Yeah.
November 8th, 7:46 a.m., he will have a deer on the ground, a buck on the ground, I think he said, actually.
Yeah.
And he also said that he will have a monster tagged out by the 11th.
Okay.
So he went really bold.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's not only got a buck on the ground and knows what time.
Yeah.
But
he's got a monster.
3 days later, he's tagged out with a monster.
Hmm.
Okay.
Awful freaking brave.
Now, that's a subjective term.
Yeah.
A monster to him may be a 115-inch buck. I don't know.
Yeah. As long as he considers it a monster, I guess that's...
All right.
We'll have to go with his word.
You, on November 5th...
November 5th.
Between 7:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning...
Yep.
We'll have a 150.
At least.
Yeah, 150 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the going rate.
Okay. I'm going to bring it up again next week, this way we can keep it fresh in everybody's memories.
Okay.
I mean, I hope that both of you are correct.
Yeah.
I really do.
Sometimes you got to think positive, man.
I'm all down with it. I hope I'm helping you drag the sumbitch out of there.
So do I, because it's some rough shit out there.
Because that particular day we're going to be together.
Yes, we are. I was watching that game last night, the Packers-Bears.
Yeah.
And the announcers had said something that makes a ton of sense. We're being canceled. No, we're not being canceled. They didn't even bring up our show, which kind of pissed me off. But that's besides the point. I
understand why not. But which game? You're talking about Sunday night or the Packers game?
The Bears-Packers game.
Okay.
And they said, you can bring in, because, I mean, Bears fans were so confident because all the money they spent on the offseason. Okay? We've now got an offensive line. We've now got a number one wide receiver. We've now got a defensive line. We're going to protect Fields. He's going to have 3 weeks to throw the ball. We smashed all them theories last night. But he made the comment, you can bring in whoever you want. If you don't change the atmosphere of the team, like if you're not coming in saying, we're winning this game today, not coming in saying, man, I hope we don't lose. You know, if you don't change the atmosphere, you've got to win a couple games to get that atmosphere back where it's supposed to be, but you have to maintain that atmosphere. And I think that's like a huge difference between Green Bay, Chicago. Green Bay comes in, and I feel pretty confident as a Packer fan for as many years as I've been a Packer fan to say they come in with some confidence. They've got this game. You know what I mean? They don't come in thinking, oh, shit, it's this team. We may lose. But I think that what he said made a big, you know, it was huge. You've got to change the mindset of the organization. Not just, oh, look, we signed 10 players. You can spend all the money you want. I told my son, I said the Bears can bring out Jesus out there, but if Justin Fields can't throw it to him or can't get it to him, it ain't going to help. You know what I mean? They could have the top four wide receivers in the NFL and Fields throwing to him. And when he doesn't have time to throw or he can't get it to the receiver, it doesn't matter how good the receiver is. It's not like these receivers are running bad routes.
This ties into shooting 150-inch class
deer. It ties into the mindset. I said you got to have confidence. I'm confident that that's what I'm going to do that day. I'm changing my mindset.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it all ties in.
I was curious.
No, that's where I was going with it. No, it just took longer to explain. He's dyslexic. Yeah. But it makes sense. You got to go out with confidence. You're going to kill a deer. You know what I mean? You can't go out and be like, man, I probably ain't going to see shit tonight. Because you're not going to be paying attention in the stand. You're going to have your hands down your pants. You're going to be playing on your phone.
Whoa. Is that a problem?
No, that's not a problem.
Okay.
But as long as you're looking up with your hands down your pants, you're good. Okay. You can't be concentrating and focusing on it.
But what if you weren't endowed and you don't really have a choice but concentrate and focus on it?
Well, I know that struggle too, buddy.
Okay.
But
I'm just asking for a friend. Maybe I was asking for you.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
But yeah, you got to be confident in what you're doing. You got to go out knowing, hey, I'm going to get me a deer tonight. So sometimes throwing out a bold prediction, that's what you got to do.
Hey, I'm down with it.
Yeah, just don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen.
I hope it comes true.
Yeah, me too. You need to make a prediction.
Maybe I should.
You should. Throw something ballsy out there. It doesn't even have to be 150. Just be like, hey, yeah, I think between this day and this day, I'm going to pop me at least a 140 plus.
Okay. Do I have to do it right now or can I think about
it? You can think about it.
All right.
I'm in no rush.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll come back to that. I'll circle back.
Confidence, boys. Confidence.
That's right.
Because my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. And that's why I like to do what I do.
So have you been, I have been anyway, going through my, what I call my preseason checklist, trying to make sure I've got all my ducks in a row. That way, come October 1, I'm not looking for my key to my redneck blind, even though I'm not hunting. I'm not hunting out of that blind on 10-1 this year. But
I'll never forget that, Tim.
Nor will I, sir.
No, I bet you won't.
But I've been trying to, in fact, yesterday I created, I was set out here because I had nothing to do. I had the football game on the TV over there. It wasn't the Packer game. It was one of the noon games. And my notebook out, and I was just making notes, make sure that even the stuff I've already done, I was writing it down and checking it off because it makes me feel like I've actually done something if I do that.
I'm halfway done with this list.
That's right. So I was going through my little checklist. So have you got a checklist? Have you, or is it all just in your head? You know what you need to do, things you need to do?
Well, it's in my head, which is a scary place to be.
Yeah.
Because it's very hollow and has a lot of downfalls. But I don't actually write out a list. I'm one of them basic bitches, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do about 2 weeks out. I go through, make sure all my clothes are good. And I'll spend that weekend on making sure that the closet has all my spring to slightly cooler days. Because, you know, out here we occasionally do get a 45, 50 degree morning in October.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not often, but we do.
I have battled mosquitoes in October.
Yes. Yes, you can. So I like to make sure that when season starts, I've got my spring and light cold weather gear all inside the scent locker closet. Because right now, the scent locker closet, you know, well, not now because of turkey season, but it had my heavy coat, my heavy pants, which I won't wear till probably late October, early November, until we actually get our first frost and, you know, cold days.
Yeah.
So I like to make sure all that's in there. So I do all my clothes one weekend, which is like 2 weeks out, which would be this weekend coming up. I will do that. And then the following weekend, that's when I actually check the gear. I go through the backpack. I make sure that my release is in there or wherever it's going to be. I make sure that I have arrows. I make sure I got everything ready. But yeah, I really don't do a list, but I do it over a 2 weekend period.
Yeah, so you're a little older than I am, but I've reached a point in my life with age that I have to write shit down, because if I don't, then it'll be 2 days before season and I'm like, "Damn, I didn't do this." You know, but if I ahead of time, if I think about it and I write it down or give myself a window of time where when something some of the strangest times to something pop in my head would be when I'm taking a shower or when I'm mowing the yard or if I'm driving somewhere, then all of a sudden I'll have a thought and I'll be like, "Oh damn, I need to write that down or I'll forget."
Yeah.
So if I give myself a few weeks, it gives me that little window to be able to write stuff down because I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I agree with that statement.
I appreciate that. On me in general or? Okay.
Yeah.
So some things that I wrote down. Okay. Now, you and I are a little bit different. I take my tree stands down at the end of the year. You typically leave yours up. But something that's important to do is make sure your straps are golden.
Yep.
That's your livelihood, right?
Yep, so 100%.
Make sure your straps are secure. They're not dry rotting. They're not fraying. They're not any concern of
squirrel bitten.
Yeah, that too. Now, typically, squirrels, if I've left mine out, they get my seat cushions.
More they'll eat the shit out of a seat cushion.
More than they do anything else. But straps are crucial. Something I do with all my stands that you do not do, and I wish I could talk you into it, is safety harnesses.
Yeah.
I put Lifeline straps around every single tree that I hunt out of, and my little harness that I wear clips right into them when I'm up there. I got to convince you to do that.
You can keep trying.
Okay.
I'll give it a thought.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll keep working on it. Hey,
I'm not anti it.
I convinced you to go to the thumb release.
You did. You did.
Maybe I can get you to harness yourself into the tree.
It's potential.
Okay.
I am getting older, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I use my climber, I almost always wear a harness. Notice I say almost always because sometimes I don't. I forget it. And not hunting because I forgot my harness.
Yeah.
So I'm still going up.
I do always wear one. There was a time where I didn't.
Yeah.
But I do now and have for a while.
Yeah.
Something that's important to do, whether you're using hang-ons, whether you're using ladder stands, whether you're using climbers, doesn't matter. Check all your bolts and your straps.
Mm-hmm.
That shit does rust if you leave it out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
Make sure it's all cold and it's safe, you know. Especially, forget about you harnessing yourself into a tree, but don't send Jimmy up a tree. I'm just an example. I'm not saying you would, but... Or in my case, don't send Jake or Elena up a tree without knowing that stand is secure. The straps are good. The bolts are good. The joints on it, whatever. You know, whatever it may be.
Yep.
You know, forget me.
Yeah.
Make sure they're secure.
Well, we do. When we go out for cleanup, we climb every single tree because we also, you know, make sure shooting lanes are clean. Nothing has grown up, fallen over, blocked an area we want to hunt out of. So we climb up every single stand, and when I get up there, the first thing I do is I try to shake it, make sure there's no movement to it. If I got a little movement, I'll retighten it a little bit. But usually, as the tree grows, it tightens that strap naturally every year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have movement in it, then, you know, I'll click it one time, but I always, you know, feel right on both sides, and then I kind of look around when I'm standing up in it. I'll look around the backside on both sides just to make sure there's not, you know, back in the middle, it's starting to fray. And you could tell because you'll climb up some of our stands and you'll have an orange strap on it. Everyone that's got an orange strap has a strap that has been replaced because of damage. Mm-hmm. Because that's the pack that I bought because it had 10 of them in there for a lot less than some of the other ones.
Well, you brought the next one was going to be trim shooting lanes.
Yep.
But here's what words of wisdom I can offer. Trim your shooting lanes, but be careful because what your shooting lanes look like today aren't going to look like that come rut time.
No.
So right now, all the foliage is still on those trees.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take too much of that away from you, then you have just exposed yourself when all that shit dies off and falls to the forest floor. So be careful with trimming your shooting lanes. Don't overkill it.
That's how we got our stand MFU out there.
That's right. That's right.
Someone decided they were going to
clear
a couple shooting lanes, and we went out there, and there was absolutely no damn trees within 20 yards of that stand anymore, and it was just sitting there wide open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You and I have both talked about this, too, many a times and have both done it, but put in trails, and you should have done this by now, but clearing trails gives you two things, for me anyway, I think. Quieter access for your approach to your stand.
Yep.
Because it's just common sense to think if you're walking down a clean, clear path, you're going to be less noisy than if you're walking through a bunch of twigs and leaves and brush and
trees. And
number two, as we've discussed many a time, deer will take the path of least resistance. So that trail is going to serve you two purposes. Yep. It's going to give you a quieter access to your stand location and exit, and you've created a path for them to travel. So those are important.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Something I do every year, even whether they need it or not, I make sure my rangefinder has a new battery in it.
Yep.
I use my rangefinder. Trail camera's already out, but I always make sure they're fresh, clean batteries. I always make sure that the card is good and clean and wiped and we're starting fresh. Yep. You buy new cards every year, right?
Not always.
I don't necessarily buy them. I just wipe them and
I'll usually wipe them for a couple of years, and then I go buy new ones because sometimes I notice the more you erase and start over, I feel like I get, like, errors in my format when I'm going through. I've got a little card reader that actually shows them on a screen, and you can scroll through them. And sometimes I'll pop up errors if it's an older card, and I don't know why. If it's the actual card or if it's the reader or if it's the camera, I don't know. So I'll buy a new card then. But every couple of years, 2-3 years, I'll buy a few new SIM cards and put them in there.
Well, they can add up.
They do. That's why I wait every couple of years.
Arguably the most important rule on my list, I don't even know if it's arguable. Shoot your damn bow.
Yep.
Be shooting it. Don't wait till, in our case, 10-1. Some people are earlier than that.
Some people are already starting.
Yeah, but regardless of when your season starts, don't wait till that day and decide all of a sudden to shoot your bow.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? Your form's not going to be right. You haven't shot all year long. You haven't shot since last fall, okay? There's a good chance that sometimes shit happens, man. You drop things, stuff gets bumped, moved around. Mm-hmm. There's a good solid chance your sight picture is not going to be your sight picture. You know what I mean? And your rest got, not rest, well, that too, but rest or sight, either one, got moved, bumped. Things aren't in alignment.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
take care of that shit, man.
Anyone who brings their bow out in their hand always needs to check it.
Even if you're not shooting in the heat of the summer,
yeah,
June, July, August, mm-hmm. even if you don't want to do that,
yep.
at least in September, some seasons start in September, so in that case you need to be,
you have to get out in August, sorry.
But get out there and throw an arrow or two. I'm not asking you to shoot a dozen, just go out there and shoot.
You ain't got to go out there for an hour.
Shoot. Get everything together. Get the mechanics all together. Make sure your form's right. And make sure your shit's all lined up. Make sure you don't have frays in your string. Make sure, just do your due diligence and be ready to go.
Be comfortable.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
I think you were going to say something. That's why I stopped. Maybe not.
No. Well, okay. what I was going to say is you were talking about batteries and the rangefinder. That's my second week when I go through my bag.
Yeah.
I'll take out the rangefinder and I change the batteries in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't even look through it to see if it still rings up. I just change batteries instantly. There's no reason to say, well, it should be good.
Just start fresh.
And then get out there and have it not work, and then you'd be pissed.
Most of those rangefinders are those little circle batteries. Just throw a new set in them. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you out, $5, $6, $7? It's worth it.
Even if it's 10, it's worth it.
And it's going to last you all year.
Yep.
You know, just do it. Broadheads, make sure. I mean, some people reuse their broadheads, and I will, depending on what happened.
Very sketchy on all.
Yeah,
very sketchy on it. I have. I'm with you.
So I'll reuse them if I pick up that broadhead and the blades are still have the same tension on them, and one's not bent. You know, they're going back into the channel of the ferrule of the broadhead. You know, I will reuse them, but I often will even run a little sharpener across them too.
Yeah.
You know, just to make sure. More often than not, probably 99 times out of 100, I'm just screwing a new one on.
Yep.
Because I'm not taking the chance.
Yeah.
You know, because there may be that one time that you have one of these deer on our wall over here, you know, that walk in front of you, and I don't want to run the risk of
slinging a shitty broadhead.
A broadhead that I shot through a doe 2 weeks sooner.
Yep. Nick the blade and you didn't notice.
Was it worth it? You know, let's just screw a new one on there. But
And to the people out there, we're not saying that it's not going to work. It may work 90 times straight.
Absolutely.
But for my peace of mind, like, I'll look at the blade. Like, usually the only time I'm really okay with it is if it's a clean blow through and it doesn't stick 6 inches in the ground.
Yeah.
Like, let's say it was a clean blow through, hit some branches and kind of fell, and I can go just pick that arrow up. But if that broadhead's buried 5-6 inches in the dirt or 2-3 inches in the dirt and I got to rip it out, clean it off. I look, you'll look at it, you'll see a little nick here, a little nick there, a little nick here from where it goes into the dirt and hits rocks, you know, whatever, roots, whatever you got down in there.
Yep.
So the only time I'm really comfortable with shutting that and putting a new collar on it is if I pick it up off the ground and it did not stick in the ground. Then I'm usually pretty comfortable with another collar. But
you're
if
talking
it sticks,
about rage when you start talking about new collars.
Yeah.
I don't have collars.
Rage in the cage.
So Elena shot hers with a Grim Reaper last year, and when it was a complete pass-through, and it didn't really stick in the soil that much. I mean, a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
It was one of those, I was initially when I picked it up and I was looking at it, and I told her, I said, I think you can reuse this. But when I went to close the blades, blade one closed fine, blade two closed fine, but blade three, when it came up to the ferrule and that little groove that's in there, was just slightly off, just a little bit. Yep. Didn't quite fit in that groove.
Gotta
and
go.
I'm like, nope, we're done. We're not messing with this one.
See ya.
Gonna change the flight pattern, you know, and I was just, no, it's just not worth it.
Nope.
You
know, so not worth the shot.
Not worth it.
Make Bye, sure you, Felicia.
Make sure, hey.
Yeah, that's got
bye,
to go.
Felicia.
It's got to go.
Yep, agreed.
And I wasn't saying bye, Felicia, to Elena. I was talking about the broadhead.
I knew
to
exactly
be clear.
To be clear. What else? Gear hangers. I hang gear hangers in all of my trees, at least where I have hang-ons and ladders. That way I don't have to worry about it throughout the year. I just know it's there. I got a spot to hang my bow. I got a spot to hang my backpack. You know.
Yeah. Most of the bow holders I have are the swingy ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So normally if I have a swingy one on there, I can slide that backpack up, put it all the way on the back, still with that extension arm have my bow on it. So I'm usually not too worried. Yeah, but
that's generally what I do too.
For the people out there who don't want to have a gear holder in their tree or they're climbing somewhere for the first time, what I do have on my backpack is a strap. Okay. So when I get up in a tree, if I don't have one of those, and sometimes I do it, especially in the wintertime when it's colder, so I have easier access, or if I'm using my calls, what I'll do is I'll hang that backpack towards me open, but I use that little, it's, you know, almost like a strap that you would put on a trail camera. It's just got a little teeth that bite down. I have that on the back of my backpack so I can hang it on my stand, and that bag's right in front of me. So I could just reach in anytime I want. So that's another thing to do if you don't have. You could put weed in there.
Yeah.
If you wanted. I don't like the weed, so.
Beer.
You know. Put a beer in there wouldn't be bad.
I've been known to do that, actually. Have you ever gone to a tree stand with a beer?
I can honestly say I have not.
I can honestly say that I have.
Shame on you, Tim.
I know. I have taken a beer with me to the tree stand before.
Hey, you do you, boo.
It's not like every time not even most of the time, but there has been a time where I'm going to take a damn beer with me and did so.
Yeah. And hey, no one here can tell you can't.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have been known to do it. I would be curious, listening audience, if any of you out there have ever done so. Let me know.
Tell us.
Yeah. It's not common practice for me. By any stretch, I don't want to make that sound like, you know, I regularly walk out there with a six pack or anything like that.
You remember about 90 episodes ago when you got called an alcoholic?
Yeah. Was that 90?
I cannot think of her name.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We ragged her for about 40, 50 episodes.
It might come to me in a minute.
Yeah. We'll think about it. But yeah.
Was it Felicia?
Bye, Felicia.
It wasn't Felicia. No.
We definitely told her that.
It wasn't
though.
Felicia, but.
Yeah. She thought you were an alcoholic because you were drinking beer by 11 a.m.
Yeah, which so, I was.
Yeah. So if she found that out, forget about it. Yeah. She knows that she's telling the truth.
That
and
was
she
when we were recording the show a little earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of beer, you want a beer?
No, not today.
All right.
Trying to watch my girlish figure.
Fair. Scent control. Something I like to do is make sure my gear's all washed and scent control type detergents and things. And then, of course, they're in the scent crusher closet where I'm ready to run ozone on them when
ozone.
I need to. But that's something I get a jump start on. I don't wait till, shit, you know, tomorrow's opening day. I better go in here and do that. You know, I try to.
That's Mikey. That.
Does he really?
Yeah. He's like, oh, gotta get my shit washed. I'm like, dude, we're leaving in like 7 hours to go hunting.
Right.
It'll only take me a little bit. okay, well, don't fall asleep with them in the washer or you're going to be screwed in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I ain't waiting for your ass.
Nope. There'll be some weird, wet clothes going out there.
Yeah. You can get away with that October 1st.
You've never taken a beer to the tree stand?
No.
Never. Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not even a big drinker on
Am I a weirdo for doing that?
Not even a big drinker during deer camp.
Am I a weirdo for doing that?
I'm not here to judge, Tim, but it's definitely strange to me. Okay. My thing is every morning when I wake up, I grab two bottles of water out of the fridge.
I don't do it in the morning.
Or I buy
it. It'd be an evening, huh?
Yeah, well, either way. Either way, whenever I go, I always bring two bottles of water.
Yeah.
This way I have something to sip upon. I usually like the ones with the little squeezy caps so you're not opening it up every time.
Sure.
But it all depends, too. If you get a good water bottle, they don't make noise. So
keep in mind I said a beer.
I didn't say you brought a case, Tim.
I'm not bringing coolers and shit like that. You
didn't
know?
Think
just
that.
A beer.
Just a beer. Yeah. No. Because, see, like, when we started doing deer camp, it was always like Todd. Like, when Pat and Matt used to come out from Chicago, the ones that don't come out anymore.
Was they shooting cows and stuff?
Well, they didn't, but they screwed up enough hunts to where I was over it.
Yeah.
Any hooter.
All you had to say was Chicago.
Yeah. When they would come out, you know, they would always bring beer and, you know, I'd have a couple drinks that night. But like Todd's not a big drinker. Zach wasn't a big drinker.
Yeah.
You know, so when they came out, we really didn't ever drink.
It's a slap right in the tits.
It is. The right one and the left one.
I guess I ain't doing it anymore. I didn't realize I was going to be judged.
Tim, I'm not judging.
No, I'm being judged.
I'm just saying it's awkward.
I'm being judged. I wish I could remember her name.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now,
so
she'd be right now.
I guarantee if she didn't turn away from the first 4 or 5 weeks that we just bashed the shit out of her on her stupid comments, if she's still listening, you're probably going to have a message
come here soon. Some weirdo who has listened to this podcast all the way back to when we talked about her who could tell us.
I guarantee it.
And I didn't mean to call you a weirdo as in, like, you know, being degrading, because that's not the case. But the fact that you've listened to us that long, maybe
can remember the name.
Maybe there's something wrong with you. But tell us the name. Mm-hmm. Somebody tell me the name, and then we'll bring her up again next week and make fun of her all over again.
Yeah, we'll start fresh on her.
What about scrapes? Have you freshened up any scrapes yet? Done any of the stuff with scrapes?
I did take out some stuff and put it in a couple scrapes. The one, like I said, I don't use any more of those pick cameras anymore that, you know, send it to my phone. So I have to do it the old fashioned way. So I am going out one day next weekend, but I'm going to go as if I'm going hunting. I am going to cover scent up and I'm going to walk straight to the camera, pull the card, put a new one in and leave the camera and then go home and check them. So I have two mock scrapes out there and then one at my dad's that Mikey put on, and he's been getting cameras. He's had a couple does come to it, but that's really it so far. So it hasn't been huge, but the first one, when I went out and looked, I had to go the next week to finish up my property cleanup after I put that one out. And so I went over and checked it and I had a couple does in it. And one of them, you know, was pissing because her little tail is straight up in the air. So she was taking care of business in the scrape, which is a good thing. And the other one, I had no activity on the scrape yet. So I'll be going back out there, like I said, sometime during this week or Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to make a run out there and just pull those cards, and that'll be it till season starts. Have you had any luck with scrapes?
I don't know. So I've got scrapes out, of course. I mean, they've been out since last year. I've not changed them. They're still in the same place that they've always been. The only thing I've done is maybe go out and add a little scent to them.
Okay.
And I have cameras on them, but I've yet. So there's a reason why I won't discuss on here, but I'm not currently getting pictures to my phone.
Uh-oh.
So I need to correct that issue, but so they're recording to the card on the cameras and not necessarily to my, what happened was is my credit card that I had on file expired and I've not updated it.
I hate that.
Yeah. So, and I didn't realize that until I got a message the other day that said, hey, we can't charge your card on file. I'm like, oh, shit. And I just haven't gone on there and updated it.
Yeah. So, it happens.
So I'm not getting pictures currently.
But
they are on the scrapes.
Didn't we discuss that we noticed last time, even when it's not sending you pictures, it's still taking pictures?
Alyssa.
Alyssa. Bam. That's her name.
Just struck me.
Go to hell, Alyssa. We didn't forget you.
Yes, Alyssa, I took a beer to the tree stand with me.
Yeah. Alcoholic.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, but like he defended himself, Alyssa, it wasn't at the AM hunt. So
it was not.
It was one, two in the afternoon. By that point,
no.
It's all fair game for beer.
I'm not heading out to the woods at 5:15, 5:30 in the morning with a beer in my hand. No, I'm not doing that. Be a little strange, but
deer time.
Not doing that.
Yeah, no. I'd probably judge you a little more then, Tim.
Yeah. That's all right. I still
love you.
I still wouldn't care.
But I'd have to judge you. Yeah. But
I'm not doing that.
Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, it's so deep. Ah. Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting. I did over 1,000. You have your ubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsimus.
Get Dialed In is brought to you by TightNutrition.net, and you can use code
Backwoods,
which will save you 10% in free shipping. Get them dialed in.
All right. At first, I told Tim, hey, I didn't prepare today. I got nothing. Right, let's not do this. And then I said, oh, I got something for this. Cardio, people. I know we've talked about it before, but let me tell you why I'm bringing it up. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that me at 49 decided that wrestling 3 matches in a 24-hour period was a great idea. Not only is it rough on my body, but it's rough on my lungs. Trying to maintain that speed for a match for that long, for 3 times, you know, in that short of a period. Cardio. I even had someone in the crowd yell to me about, hey, stop hitting the weights so hard and hit the treadmill. So
just slap right in the tits.
Yeah, it was a huge slap in the tits. I was slightly insulted.
Because my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
And they don't even know that. You know, they don't know that my milkshake does that.
Right.
But long story short, get your cardio in. I don't care. And let me tell you, I am going to be starting, if I'm going to continue to do this nonsense wrestling.
Because somebody called you out, or?
Well, that and my lungs hurt.
I'm your huckleberry.
Yes. The one guy, the second day, I was wrestling a heavyweight match.
Reckon what you like to eat in there.
There was nothing that I liked to eat that day. I wanted to die.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
What are you doing to me, Tim?
I can't help it. They all flow together.
Tim's going apeshit over here. They're not going to know who the hell to listen to.
I'll let you have your minute. Go ahead.
He picked me up for a vertical suplex. While I was already winded.
Is that where they lick your butt?
Yes, sort of. Close. He held me up for a suplex for almost a minute and a half. All the blood was rushing to my head, and all my...
You were vertical in the air for a minute and a half?
Minute and a half. He was holding me up.
How in the hell? Okay.
I don't know how I didn't die. I actually told him, I said, we got to go over with this because I'm about to pass out. But my breathing was getting really heavy because everything was pushing down on my lungs from, you know... All my organs were just laying, I guess, on my lungs, and I was already struggling to breathe. And I was sitting there in his ear, and I was finally like, dude, we got to fall. I thought I was going to die. All the blood was to my head. I was so happy when it, you know, take a bump. I'm normally not very excited about taking bumps, but that day I was very happy. So cardio, make sure you're getting it. I don't care if you're walking, running, treadmill, stair stepper, sitting on a bike. However you want to do it, get your cardio in because it whipped my ass this weekend.
It's taking a bump like...
One free hand job.
Is that kind of the same thing or...
Close.
Okay.
Close, but it's a little more painful. I guess it depends on who's giving you the free hand job.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Because I've had some rough one of them back in the, you know, my childhood.
Yeah.
Most of them given by myself, but that's besides the point.
Concrete workers.
Yeah.
His hands get rough.
If his hands are not fucking taken care of... You need to buy him some Bees hand rub or Burt Bees, rub that in and get rid of them calluses and call it a day.
I had no idea. since you brought up Burt Bees, which is a Rule King brand. Well, it's not a Rule King brand, but it's a brand I see at Rule King all the time. The Lou's seasonings and the guns and the...
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You smell them when I'm cooking?
I smell it.
Smell them when I'm stepping in?
Yep.
I didn't know that shit was sold at Rule King.
Yeah.
I've been buying it directly from Lou's.
Really?
And then the last time I was in Rule King, I'm like, they have a whole freaking display of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, they stopped carrying the jerky...
Cannon?
Or seasoning? No, the seasoning that I like to use, the Backwoods.
Yeah.
They stopped carrying it, and they went with some generic-ass brand. So I'm like, well, if I don't have to order it, I'm not. So I bought it, and it was the shittiest stuff I ever used, so I never bought it from Rule King again, started ordering again. Well, now Rule King has it back. But I feel like now I have a relationship with the company that I order from all the time, so it's hard for me not to order it. I just pick up the phone and hit repeat order because I usually get the same stuff all the time.
Everything I got from Lou's, I bought from Lou's. I didn't realize it was that Rule King. I just happened to be there one day down that aisle looking at something, and I'm like, whoa, poof,
there it is.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
You know, and they had everything.
Hey, for people out there, walk your local Rule King. Yeah. You might be surprised.
If you have a Rule King.
If you have one.
Yeah, not everybody has.
If not, Farm and Fleet, whatever the hell you got.
Right.
Walk it. See what they got.
Yep.
You may be surprised.
So I had some shooter to let it walk, but I think because of the time frame here, we're already over an hour. So I think we'll hold it off till next week.
Okay.
It's no problem to wait. It's not that big of a deal.
Fair enough.
And we'll get to it then. So instead, we'll do this.
I've been hornswoggled.
So Foghorn Leghorn says something dry fires your bow. Something has pissed in your Cheerios. Something has ate all of your porridge soup.
Mm. Damn
bears. Who ate all of your porridge soup?
Hey, I posted it yesterday. You know, a little bit of it.
They turned me loose in the nervous hospital. Said I was well.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
I am not, you know, I haven't been telling everybody all year how bad we were going to whip the Bears' ass opening day. I just said, hey, Jordan Love ain't as bad as you think he is. Remember, we moved up the draft to get this kid. It's not like he was sitting on our bench for the last 3-4 years watching and we picked him up in the 7th round somewhere. This is a kid that we picked up to play. That's all I've been saying all summer. But from all the Bears fans, I've been hearing shit how they're going to beat the shit out of us. Well, we all see how that played out yesterday. So I put one little post on there, and I got crickets back. That bothers me. Stand up and admit you're wrong. Stand up and say, hey, you know what? You're right. Justin Fields is shitbag.
I commented and told you weren't very modest.
Yeah, you did. You did. But my brother jumped on there and like, oh, you can't use the Bears as a measuring stick. Blah, 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 blah. I never did. I just want, kind of like the tribal chief in pro wrestling, I just want you to acknowledge that Jordan Love did not look bad. I don't care if he was playing the Bears. It's still an NFL team. It's still his first start, his real first start as it's his team. Not, okay, well, Rodgers is hurt, so we're starting you tomorrow.
It's a different play system. So
it
is. He was under the previous playing system.
Yes.
So it's technically his play system now.
And he looked very calm, passed for 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And he looked good in the pocket. Now, one bad decision where he came out and took that sack, he ran right into it. Other than that, didn't get touched. But it bothers me that no one will acknowledge it and be like, man, you're right, he didn't look bad. Or, hey, be a Bears fan and just say, you're right, Justin Fields is a piece of shit. Our line that we spent all these millions of dollars on still sucks. Our defense, you guys destroyed, that we spent all this money on. But they won't. But then I look like the bad guy for posting it, like I'm bragging. I really wasn't. It was one of those in your face because you talk so much shit for the last 4 months. I mean, just everybody. Oh, now that Rodgers is gone, welcome to a mediocre team. I'm sorry you're a Bears fan. You've had mediocrity in your life for the last, when they win the Super Bowl? 1980-something?
85.
Yeah, and they've been in what? 3 playoffs, 4 playoffs since? I'm sorry that you've had to live that life. I've been a Green Bay Packer fan for almost 23 years, and I've seen 4 seasons without a playoff. 5? 4?
So, I was busting your balls, but I felt like, and I'm on actually on your side.
Yeah.
I'm not a Bears fan, nor I'm not a Chicago fan, period. But I had to bust your balls just because it was you, and I had to bust your balls.
You have to. Yeah, and I can take it.
So that's why I was on there busting your balls.
Yeah.
And I was on your team. Yeah. But,
I wasn't mad. And Mikey was all talking all this shit. And I think he sat here and told you the same thing, that you guys will have to write him an apology letter when we see how great Justin Fields is in week one, now that they have a true number one wide receiver.
Right.
Who had, let's just be clear, two receptions for 33 yards. Both our rookie receivers that were in there that made, you know, that had some receptions, both surpassed their number one receiver. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything that's ate all my porridge soup.
Nothing?
No.
Shit. Been a good week, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that I'm still not over the damn COVIDs is pissing me off, because I'm still waking up every day congested. And
you do sound better this week than last week.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
I can hear it in me that I still don't have my voice back.
Yeah.
So it's kind of dry.
It's not that soothing voice that people are used to, but they'll adapt.
I mean, it's not that commercial voice.
No. No. Yeah. It's not that reading a romantic novel voice you hear in the back of your head whenever you're reading it.
My side job, you're bringing that up. I wasn't going to tell people about that, but
Tim, that's what I do.
I guess the cat's out of the bag. Y'all know now. That's what I do on the side.
Reads romantic novels.
That's right.
Into book form.
So if you're listening to Kindle audio, you're probably hearing me.
The smooth sounds of Tim Jarvis. Yeah.
That's all I got. I don't.
That's it.
Yeah. It's not been. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time we re-record this, not re-record, but record again, maybe I'll have my actual manly voice back.
There we go. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Everything will go back to normal then.
You can contact us via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have a couple minutes, leave us a review. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Some people do. Some people don't.
I think we challenged them a couple weeks ago to...
All of you are capable. Yeah. If you pulled up your phone and you clicked on this episode, God love you.
Thank you.
That aside, there's a little thing on there, and it takes you just a second to click a little star rating or to type on there, hey, these two douchebags are idiots.
Yeah.
It don't matter what you want to put on there.
Nope.
We're
appreciative of anything.
You can put this.
Oh, what a douche I am.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't care.
We don't care.
Put it on there.
Yeah.
Challenge issued.
Again.
For those of you who have left reviews, God bless you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you listening to this show, number one. And number two, I appreciate the time you took out of your daily life, because I know we all live busy lives to get on there and type something, whether it be from a particular episode that you heard that you enjoyed, or just because you enjoy listening to these two idiots sitting in here doing this. Whatever it may be, thank you.
That we are.
Genuinely, thank you.
Yep.
And for the rest of you, grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bow hunting content.